We're taking you behind the scenes with entrepreneurs that run product-based businesses. There is so much information out there tailored towards service providers, so we have carved out a space just for you. The creative entrepreneurs making and selling physical goods. We're firm believers that everyone has a story to share, and there is so much we can learn from each other's business journey. Whether you are just starting out or a seasoned business owner, this podcast will shed light on new strategies, inspiration, and action steps to help you grow your product-based business. Hey friends, I'm Katie Hunt, and welcome to Proof to Product. I am really excited for you to listen into today's podcast episode with Jean Marie Sanchez of Little Feats Opus. As you will hear directly from Jean today, she started dabbling in creative design as a side hustle in 2016. She was focused on wedding invitations and custom projects at the time. And by 2019, she was launching her wholesale greeting card line at the National Stationery Show. All of Jean's products stem from personal stories of the strong women in her life. She focuses on spreading joy, empowerment, and relatable life moments. On today's episode, Jean shares her aha moment for when she knew there was space in the market for her inclusive and diverse line of products. We talked about her experiences exhibiting in the Emerging Artist section of NSS for two consecutive shows, and we talked about the pros and cons of that, too, versus having your own booth. We also talked about how Jean defines success through impact. Now, before we jump into Jean's story and this heartfelt conversation, I wanted to let you know about a new feature that we have recently added to our Proof to Product Labs community. In addition to our live monthly trainings and our live group coaching calls with me, we are adding a third live call every month called Coffee Chats. This is where we meet in a more casual setting, and Labs members are answering questions about specific things they are successfully utilizing in their business. So things we've recently talked about include subscription products, using Instagram Reels, and we had a wholesale buyer answer questions about their buying preferences. Just like all of our other live sessions, these coffee chats are recorded and saved in our resource library, so you can access them at any time. I built Proof to Product Labs because I want everyone to have accessible, affordable professional development. I want you to be able to jump in and find the resources and tools you need when you need them most. And I want to help you move from where you are in your business right now to that next level of success that you are trying to reach. So if you need community and coaching and you're looking for collaboration opportunities like this, join us at proofToProduct.com/labs. Now let's jump into this episode with Jean Sanchez of Little Feats Opus. Hey Jean, welcome to Proof to Product.
Hi Katie, thank you for having me.
It is my absolute pleasure. I have just enjoyed watching your business blossom so much since you came to Paper Camp, and you've really built a beautiful brand. And I know you're still like in the process of growing in different ways that you're looking forward to, but I'm excited for you to share your story today of how you started. But I also want you to like shed light on what it was like to kind of start in that wholesale world, because I know a lot of people, we have a lot of people on the show that are brand new businesses, but then we have a lot of people that have been doing this a while. And I think you're in that real sweet spot that a lot of people can relate to in terms of the middle of growth mode, you know? So thank you for being willing to come back and or come on and share your story and tell everybody about how you got started. But let's start with that. What's your origin here? How did you start Little Feats Opus?
So Little Feats Opus, I started about 2016, like officially Little Feats Opus. Before that, I was doing a lot of wedding invitations, customized work and things like that. Now, my background is in architecture. So I was working full time as an architect, project manager, and, you know, doing all of that. So that was my side hustle. I know.
So hard to manage those two. Yes.
It's, you know, you come home and I'm, you know, I'm up until like 11 o'clock at night. My husband's like, what are you doing? I'm like, I have to do this, you know?
Yeah. Oh yeah. I know those days.
So I was doing a lot of that, and I had gotten to a point in my professional life where I wasn't happy with where I was, you know, and people were starting to identify me as the company that I was working for. Mm-hmm. And really, it started to bother me. I was like, I want people to recognize me for what I do, what my values are, and what I can bring to the table. And I took a leap. I had a situation. A at the job that kind of forced me through and, you know, took a leave to kind of look at, okay, what do you want to do with all of these things that you do? You know, because when you're creative, you're not working on one thing. You know, you've got some this going on, you got cards going on, you got dolls going on, you know, all this stuff. So I was able to take that time and start to develop. I've been a journalist all my years. So it was time to start taking what I had been journaling and pairing it with what I call my Afro Angel Ladies and start pairing the two together. So I started doing that, but I had no idea about how cards got to stores, where Hallmark got their stuff from, or, you know, anything like that. So my younger sister forced me to get on Instagram because I was old school. And I started following a couple of ladies who were doing greeting cards. And I was like, wow, there's a world out here for that. And as I followed them, then I started following other people, and they were all gearing up for the National Stationery Show. Mm-hmm. And so I was like, what is that? And they were so super sweet. They sent me links and all kinds of stuff. And I was like, wow, I wonder what that's all about. All right. So I started off, I had maybe like 12, 15 cards. I had a local consignment store that was carrying, you know, like 5 or 6 of them, you know, so it was great. I was able to walk the show in 2017, I think it was. Mm-hmm. And the minute I came down that escalator and walked into the space, it was like, oh my God, I cannot believe this world exists, you know?
Yeah.
So I started walking through trying to find the people that I was following on Instagram and finally found them and saw all their stuff. And I was like, oh my God, I had no idea. Like, I don't even know. My brain was just blown.
Well, I want to interrupt you there 1 second because I had a similar experience the first show I exhibited at. And the first show I attended was the first one I exhibited at too, which is not what I recommend. But I will tell you, there's something about going to a wholesale trade show like that where you see that everyone is there conducting business, that they're taking it seriously. It's an elevated level of business because I think when we're in our own silos, we think of people doing this as a hobby or sure, I can sell on these, you know, crafting platforms or whatever it might be. But to walk into an exhibiting hall like that with, you know,
organized spaces.
Yes. And be able to see it. I agree with you. I was blown away by it.
I was so taken aback. And then that was the first time that I also met you
because yes, I remember
the ladies that I was seeing, they were like, Katie is here, go to her booth, you know, and stuff. So I like beelined it over there and you were just so gracious. You were just so gracious. You took time to listen to what I was trying to do, knowing that it was my first time here. I swear I could see it in your eyes, like telling me, okay, deep breaths.
Oh, you were so excited. I remember vividly. You were so excited and you had so many ideas, all of which were wonderful. Your energy was amazing. But I could see you like ramping yourself up into not a panic. That's too strong of a word. But your mind was racing a million miles a minute.
Yes. And aside from you, the other people that I met was, I don't know if you know them, but it's Jocelyn and Roland, and they are from Almont. I can never say it properly. Umlaut, Brooklyn.
Okay.
And they were just so warm and forthcoming. And I don't know, like I sat there with them for like half an hour just talking about things. And the other thing that I saw while I was there was there weren't a lot of Black and Brown people. You know, as I walked through all of the exhibitors that were there and everything, you know, I think maybe, I mean, and I didn't walk the whole show, you know, to be honest, but I think in all of my walking, I met maybe one or two, and one of them wasn't even exhibiting. She was watching the table for someone.
Did that spark? I mean, I have to imagine that sparked your desire to do more. Is that true?
I said to myself, there is space here for me. Mm-hmm. I need to be here. That's what I walked away with. I walked away with, I need to be here. I need to be in this space. I need to, there's a hunger for what I'm producing, for what I'm doing. And I could, I don't know, Katie, it was like, I could feel it, you know? Mm-hmm. And I just left there so encouraged and empowered and like, okay, you know, and then I take the train ride back home to Connecticut and I get there and I'm like, what's next?
Yeah. Well, that's what I was going to ask you next, because you leave a ball of energy, right? You're excited, you're motivated, you're encouraged. But what was it like truly getting started? Because you needed to build out your product line a little bit more. You were trying to decide whether to sell retail or wholesale. There were a lot of decisions to make, right? So where did you start?
So there were a ton of decisions to make. And the first one was, can you know, like I said, I only had like 12 cards, right? Mm-hmm. And the first thing you said to me was, you need at least 45 cards before you want to look at wholesaling. And I was like, well, can I do that? And then can I consistently produce that kind of work, you know, going forward, right? Mm-hmm. So those kinds of things came to my mind. And then what also came to my mind was, well, what do you want to do with your life? Do you want to be in a store, brick and mortar, where, you know, you're managing things and you're working with people and blah, 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 blah? Or do you want to be kind of like a behind the scenes and have your stuff go out into the world? And because I've been in management positions almost all of my architectural career, I knew that I didn't want to do that. You know, so I had a little bit of an inside track of like, I didn't want to manage people. I didn't want to have the responsibility of a store. I didn't want to be responsible for someone's paycheck. You know, like that was just all too soon for me. So going to like a store model was definitely not in the works for me. Okay. And then finding out that wholesale might be the way for me to go to reach that goal is how I settled on, okay, maybe I'm going to go this route for now and see what it is that I can do. And then Paper Camp was huge in making that decision solid. You know, I tell people all the time about Paper Camp. I said, you know, don't just look at it as how to go into business wholesale. Look at it as maybe I don't want to do this. Right? It's a whole process. So after you're done with it, maybe at the end you say, this is really not what I want to do. And that's okay. You know, but at least you took those steps. I mean, there's just so much information chock full of nuts in Paper Camp that, you know, when I eventually did launch, it was like, oh my God, like she's only been doing this how long? And everything is so professionally done and worked out and, you know, all of that. So it definitely makes a difference. I think people need to ask themselves what they're willing to do, how much they're willing to put into it, and to just be really honest with what comes back to them.
I love that you brought up the flip side, I think, so of Paper Camp in particular, because I tell people that all the time. I'm like, I would rather you come spend either 2 days in our conference or 4 weeks in our online program and learn that this isn't for you, rather than spend months or years and tens of thousands of dollars learning this by trial and error, only to recognize, whoa, what did I get myself into? I don't want this.
Exactly.
But on the flip side, majority of our students come through and, like you said, they get all the information they need, they have the support they need from our community, and then they're able to go forward and make educated decisions for their particular business. So I'm not trying to tell people come to learn that this isn't for you, but it is a benefit too, because again, I don't want anyone wasting time, money, or energy on things that aren't the right path for them.
Well, the other thing too that I like about Paper Camp is that it's so getting into this card stationery world, there's not a lot of specifics out there that help you navigate this, right? It's sort of a niche, even though, you know, Walmart, Target, Hallmark, like they're all full of this stuff and people use these things all the time. There's no way to, I don't know what the right word is that I'm looking for.
But there's no playbook. There's no, you know, handbook available that's going to show you exactly how to do that. I mean, we get pretty darn close with our programming, but things are constantly changing and evolving too. And so, yeah, I agree with you.
Yeah, like people don't know where to go. All right. Mm-hmm. So then you're left with kind of no direction. Okay. You've got all this stuff and you want to do things with it, but what do you do? How do you do it? Where do you do it? You know?
Right.
And right. Paper Camp was just instrumental in that because I had other people that were trying to help, but because it wasn't their thing, you know, they were used to running an architectural firm or mm-hmm. used to running, you know, a different type of business, you know, and this is very unique and its own thing. So yeah. having Paper Camp and the mentors that I talked about before have just been instrumental in helping me get to where I am now and looking forward to what's coming down in the future.
I'm so proud of you. Let's talk about your goals in the beginning. You know, so you decided wholesale was what you wanted to do. Mm-hmm. What were kind of your initial goals around that when you said, okay, this is what I'm going to tackle? Like, did you set any quantifiable goals around the number of stores you wanted? Or was it more of an internal goal setting of like, here's the kind of products I want to create? What kind of went through your mind there?
Well, what went through my mind there was that I just want my things everywhere.
Yes, ma'am. I agree.
As far as quantifying it, I didn't have like monetary goals. It's really weird because people are like, well, how much do you think you want to make at your first trade show or whatever? And honestly, I was looking for connections. I was looking for, you know, who would I meet at the trade show? Because I know from experience, you never know who you're talking to. You never know who's coming across you, who God is putting in your path. You know, you just never know. So I was more interested in meeting people and seeing what others were doing and getting a feel for what this was like. Thank goodness I benefited. I did get some orders the first trade show that I did. So yay. And I got a lot of great feedback also, mm-hmm. you know, even from folks that didn't buy from me. I mean, I had people who walked up and were like, oh my God, your stuff is so beautiful, but I don't have a clientele for it, mm-hmm. you know, and that was okay. You know, so
You got the connection there. You felt the connection, you felt the validation, I assume. I shouldn't put words in your mouth, but.
No, you're exactly right. You're exactly right. I felt the connection, the validation, the okay. I am, because so many times we are our worst critic and we uh-huh. are our, you know, when they say, I didn't even know what it was until I speak to the Paper Camp alum people, is that whole imposter mode, mm-hmm. you know, that you go through, you're like, you know, am I really doing something to help the world? Like what, you know, what is this? I'm making drawings and putting them on cards, you know, and it's important. It's so very important. I say that for anyone who is doubting themselves right now. Continue. Stay true to you. Stay true to your course because it is important and you don't know whose life you're touching by the stuff that you're putting out. It's just so important.
I have goosebumps. That's beautiful. And I agree with you wholeheartedly. You know, you exhibited in the Emerging Artists section of the National Stationery Show, which is now moving into New York now for anyone listening and has questions about it. But I would love to kind of talk through some of the pros and cons of that for you. What were some of the benefits of doing the Emerging Artists section versus maybe your own booth at the show?
The huge, huge incentive for doing the Emerging Artists section was money. You know, booths can go anywhere from 3 to 5 to 10, depending on how much space you want, et cetera. But with this, the cost for it was okay enough for me to say, okay, I'm going to step out. You know, I've got all these other things in place now. I've got my cards. I've got, you know, my catalog. I've got my resources. I have a little bit of stock. The price point of it was perfect for me to make it a commitment mm-hmm. and then try it out. It was very nice that they were able to provide that kind of exhibit space for those who were just wanted to say, oh, let me try stationery show. Let me try this wholesale thing and see how it's going to work out for me. The other pro to it was just meeting all the other designers. It reminded me of architecture school, when you go and you're doing your big mid-year or end-of-year presentation, everybody's got the jitters, everyone's in a good, yes. you know, is in a good mood, everyone's got their best stuff on the walls, you know, and you're ready to present yourself and talk to your people. So that, again, that was great. The atmosphere there was great. The price point was awesome to give you that little bit of exposure to see, okay, I can do this. The cons, so now I've done it twice. I did it in August, and then I did it again in February. The August show, me personally, I was just like a happy puppy. You know, just I was just there like, you know.
It was your first time, too. It was your first time, too. So you were super pumped.
You know, so very little could have gone wrong to have made it like an awful experience for me. But where we were positioned, you know, where they positioned us, we were up in the pavilion at the Javits Center. And mm-hmm. it felt a little forgotten. You know, we felt a little forgotten. We felt like, you know, people were walking by and we're like, oh, well, what's this? You know, so I think visibility, I think signage, all of that played a part in us not being seen like mm-hmm. we wish we would have. It was more of like felt a little more of like an afterthought kind of space.
The February show, it moved downstairs to the main show floor. Was that better for you?
That was so much better. We were downstairs on the main floor. They did a lot more with exposure. Their signage was a lot better. I did like the fact that when you walked into the space, if you took the pink carpet straight down the middle, it got you to us and stuff. So positioning was a lot better than it was the first time. In terms of orders that I wrote, it was pretty much even. So
oh, really? It's, okay.
Yeah. Which was surprising, but it was pretty much even. I did just as well the second time as I did the first time.
What about number of contacts you met and like cards collected, business cards and leads?
That was different. I had a lot more cards the second time around than I did mm-hmm. the first time. So I met a lot more people. And I think also like I got a front spot, which was awesome. So
yeah, you were front and center. It was nice.
So I was seen and things. So it was good. I hope New York Now continues to offer something like that for newbies, you know, like myself, to kind of start it out and see if that's something that's going to work for them. Because it was definitely helpful.
I hope so too, just because the two benefits you talked about, one, connecting with others that are in the same position, and two, the lower financial risk, were both huge. I have to imagine too that with the emerging artist section, you had a kiosk that was set up for you. So really all you had to do was put your product up on it. Whereas with a booth, you also have to come in and bring your walls or your displays and all that stuff. So the emerging artist section is like lower financial risk, but it's mm-hmm. also less like work too.
Yeah. So I had my brother-in-law, he was my right-hand man during the show. Nice. So when my husband came to drop us off at the front, he was like, okay, so are the boys going to help us bring stuff in? I was like, what are you talking about? He's like, well, don't we have stuff we have to bring in? I was like, dude, we got this. I have three boards and a suitcase. He said, are you kidding me? I was like, no. Yep.
That's awesome.
So we rolled in and we rolled out.
That's fantastic. Well, hey, I want to turn to your work a little bit. Mm-hmm. You know, when at the beginning of the episode, you talked about how you were setting out to add diversity inclusiveness to the industry as a whole through your product. So can you share a little bit with us, one, what inspires you as you're creating your work and what are you most proud of?
Oh, wow. My inspiration comes from the women in my family. We are all very strong. And that goes from like my grandma, who I didn't know that well, but knew, to my nieces now who are starting their families and stuff. And most of the images that I have depict women, and it's usually women of color. And the one thing that they all always have is the Afro. And, you know, the Afro is just, it's a statement of freedom, of expressing yourself, loving yourself, and representation, you know? And mm-hmm. I don't care if you're white, black, brown, whatever, everyone can relate to that that hair, you know, that hair when it's like unruly and it won't do what you want it to do and it wants to be free, you know? So the women in my life really inspire me, inspire these cards, inspire these messages where they're uplifting and powerful and sometimes smart asses.
You can say it. Sorry.
And things. And honestly, every single card, and I'm not kidding you, every single card has a story behind it. Every mm-hmm. single card has a secret name. It has, you know, it's identifiable to me. It's my self-love card, but it's got a secret name behind it of the person who inspired that card. And some of them are just me, you know, the one that I just released, which was Fear and Faith, where she's holding the world on her shoulders. That card is Jean, you know, that's a Jean card because that's how mm-hmm. Jean was feeling. But that's what it is. It's stories of life, the life around me, the life I'm living, the life my friends and family are living. That's where the journaling comes from. That's where the images get inspired by. That's where it comes from, Katie.
That's beautiful, Jean. I love to hear where everyone's inspired and how it relays then into not just the products, but mm-hmm. also the choices we make in our business of how we do business and yep. how we conduct ourselves as business owners. And again, I just want to pay you a compliment that your Aww. Work is not only beautiful, but the way you choose to run your business is just amazing. And I'm really proud of you there. But I know I asked this, but we didn't really get to it. What are you most proud of in your business? Like, how do you define success for you now?
Success. Success to me is, and now I'm going to try not to get weepy. Success to me is the people I touch. So of course I want to make money. Of course I want to be able to go on vacations. Of course I want it to be a viable business. Okay. That's running itself and doing things and being able to give back to the community and things like that. But success to me truly, because this is all gifted to me by God, okay? Very faithful and spiritual. And I don't take that for granted. So for me, success is reaching that one person that needed to know that they are enough. Reaching the little girl that gets the birthday card that looks like her. Reaching, you know, the grandma that finds, you know, the right card because her grandchild is mixed. To me, those are the levels of success. Is I'm giving back and I'm doing what I need to do to help facilitate communication between human souls. That's truly what I deem as success for what I'm doing.
It's the impact you're making through yes. the messages. And like you said, the conversations that are starting and that's amazing. Do you want to share what's coming up for you and Little Feet Opus? What do you have in the works?
Right now, I've got a virtual show that I'll be doing in October. I don't have a lot of information yet on it. And it's for art pieces. So it's not really like the greeting cards and stuff like that. But it's the images that I have transferred to Canvas.
Very cool. I think that's a great move for you, by the way.
Yeah. So I'm hoping that goes well. You know, in this world of virtual, it's really a little bit scary because you don't know how people are doing it, what they're doing, you know, and you don't want to sink a lot of money into it, you know, because now mm-hmm. when I go do the show again, which I will be doing, I have to put my big girl panties on and get a booth. You know, there's no more emerging artist part for me. Yeah. So navigating that is tough. And then I'll be releasing some more things around October. So it'll be like my 21 calendar for retail and nice. Then my 2022 calendar for wholesale. Attaboy. And yeah, and a couple of more other designs that I still have in the works.
It is, well, I have to chuckle a little bit because I think back to what you described earlier of the card of the woman with the world on her shoulders, and how I also think back to earlier the conversation where you were saying, you know, us creatives, we have a ton of ideas and we do a lot of things, and I'm listening to you, I'm like, I can relate so hard to what you're saying of, yeah, I'm going to do this and I'm going to do that. And so you keep doing you and keep creating the amazing things that you're creating. And also I'm sure our listeners are probably chuckling along with us because they're like, yep, that's me too. You know, the plan just expands as we go. Well, let's tell people where they can find you online to look at your products, to shop your site, to follow you on Instagram.
So I'm on Instagram. Everything is Little Feats Opus. The website is littlefeatsopus.com. The handle at Instagram is Little Feats Opus, and it's the same for Facebook. I recently got into Faire. So I am now on the Faire wholesale platform. So people can find me there too, again, under Little Feats Opus.
Fantastic. Well, Jean, I very much enjoyed this conversation with you. Thank you so much for coming back and sharing your insight and your inspirations. And also too, I think that people are going to gather a lot from your experience as an exhibitor in the emerging artist section. I think that's not an area that we've discussed at length here on the podcast before. So I think hearing directly from somebody that's done it twice of the pros and cons, that'll help a lot of people make decisions as we head into 2021 planning. So thank you for that.
You're very welcome.
Thanks so much for spending time with us today. Head on over to prooftoproduct.com to join the conversation, access our show notes, and discover free resources to help you build your product-based business. We'll be back next week with a new episode. Thanks again.